There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1206 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We're back, and big thank you to all the people helping me out while I was gone. Of course, Dalton and Kelly, but Cam Marston filling in last week. It feels like it on Tuesday, filling in for Midday Show. But I'm back, and things are good. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. By the way, too, I put this out on Twitter, I think, while I was gone, but with the show intro, and part of the show intro that is probably the most famous, that I get more questions about, is what's wrong with the beer we got? It drinks pretty good, don't it? That is Alabama Representative Alvin Holmes, who, by the way, that's just the tip of the Alvin Holmes iceberg. If you're working today, but it's one of those days where maybe you don't have a regular workload and you can sneak off and listen to something on the computer, or you're not working, get a chance, do a little research, go to YouTube and look for Alabama Representative Alvin Holmes. There's the beer, the whole extended beer Alvin Holmes thing, which is from the Free the Hops debate. Then there's another one where he calls into a radio show in Montgomery talking about marrying a mule. That's another one of the classics. I haven't been able to work that into the show intro, but that's coming. But why did I mention this? Yeah, on Twitter, I think it's while I was gone, I saw this and I had to go ahead and retweet the Mike Kaysen story that pointed out the longest serving member of the Alabama House of Representatives, that would be Alvin Holmes, says he's still an effective lawmaker and plans to win a 12th term. Representative Alvin Holmes, Democrat out of Montgomery, first elected in 1974, faces first-time candidate Kirk Hatcher in the July 17th runoff in House District 78. In an interview last week, Hatcher said Holmes had been a strong advocate for African Americans during his time in office, but has become notably absent from that role. Put that down, notably absent, which is not a good thing for your representative. Holmes, 78 now, has disputed that point. He says he continues to advocate for blacks the same way he always has. I got an idea, Mr. Holmes. How about you advocate for all the people in your district? How about that? How about instead of just saying, how about you advocate for everybody in 78? Just an idea. Listen, Alvin Holmes, been there a long time. And it's just one of those questions, that people continue to reelect him. And I got to tell you, I'm so very happy they do, because the more time he's serving in the legislature, the more chance I have of getting quotes from him to put on this very show. All right, so there it is. So Alvin Holmes, you can see the full story over on my Twitter feed. Speaking of our representation, you live in Mobile County. You live in the southern portion of Mobile County. This man right here is your county commissioner, Jerry Carl, in studio today. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
I still haven't heard your age.
We can play the guess the age game. Guess
30,
the age.
32.
Right. Would be nice. That'd been a decade and change ago. Now I am, we'll leave it open on the, not anybody who works here who knows, but no, it's, I'm older than that, for sure. Thank you, folks. My buddy Ben has stopped by today, too, brought us some sandwiches for lunch. So during one of the news breaks, if you want to go grab a sandwich, Ben, to celebrate my birthday and his upcoming birthday, stops by with lunch for us. Also some cool gifts. But I want to talk about what went on this morning, county commission meeting.
We didn't get a whole lot accomplished. I assume you're talking about the stadium issue.
Yeah.
Okay. But what we did do is we defined one of the commissioners wanted to actually see the study. See the study of where the cost of the stadium to be tore down and rebuilt, $2.5 million is what was thrown around, and the other commissioner is waiting for the public meetings that they're going to have. The city is supposed to be setting some public meetings up that she wanted to attend and get some feedback from, I guess, some folks that live there around the stadium.
All right. We'll hit the rewind button here for a second to folks that have not been embroiled in this discussion, although it seems like looking at our text line, our phone lines, and our emails around here, a lot of people are engaged in this. But the idea is that this stadium will cost, out at the University of South Alabama, $70-something million. Asking of the city and asking of the county to put money in towards that. Now, of course, they're going to bond this out, but they're asking for, what, $10 million?
Ten from the city, and they asked 10 from the county, but
right.
We're down. We're looking at closer to 5.
Okay.
And that's Jerry's opinion, not okay. The other two commissioners. But we're looking closer at 5.
Now, I've been saying this, and correct me, because I've been thinking about getting you in here the whole time I said it. And once again, this is not either a pro or anti. It's just a matter of fact thing. The city has a dog in the hunt with Ladd.
Correct.
Does the county have a dog in the hunt?
We do from a PR standpoint.
Okay. But a fiscal dog in the hunt?
We have, at this point, have not put...
That doesn't mean you don't do it. I'm just saying it seems a little bit different between the city and county perspective.
Yeah, but when you're talking about the city, you're talking about the county and the county, the city. I mean, we're all one. Granted, we've got two different pools of money, but you know, I look at it from a business standpoint, like okay. I do everything, and
right.
it's just a business standpoint. The city's got to spend roughly about $7.5 million to get it up to ADA standards. Now, that's the part that does not qualify as being grandfathered in.
Let's talk about this too, because we have time to flesh this out at
okay.
full, which you know what doesn't happen in TV. Sometimes they don't. Okay, so any change up to a certain percent, I think we can understand this. People that remodel your houses, if you change a certain amount, then you've got to go through some other compliances,
right?
Your grandfather didn't unless you changed his amount. The idea is to do these improvements, whether it be a big TV board, yeah, the digital board out there to show mm-hmm. the plays or these things at LAD. If you make that many changes, you now, in addition, have to make the facility ADA compliant, similar to the Civic Center situation.
Correct.
Therein is one of the big, big things that, you know, people have been looking at. Oh, well, you paint this and you fix this, but there's a bunch of money in this that's ADA compliance.
There's downsides to everything. And when you talk about public facilities, you're talking about engineering reports. You're talking about engineers signing off saying, okay, it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to put a 1,000-pound board up
right.
for everyone to see. Can the facility handle that 1,000 pounds in that particular area? I don't know, but those are the type of questions.
But that triggers the ADA, right?
It's like a domino
okay.
effect. Everything starts playing in. You have to have concession counters low enough that can be reached.
Right, somebody in a wheelchair, somebody handicapped
right.
can get those. Yeah, I mean, this is the ADA stuff that is standard in new builds.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But you have, you know, we've been talking about, Ladd is 70 years old. It didn't have those things aren't there. So if you change a certain amount, you don't just do the billboard, you don't just do the digital board or the other thing. You now have to, in addition, do the ADA compliance work.
We purchased the baseball park in Grand Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to bring it up to ADA standards.
Which I like everything going on out there,
and
by the way.
And we have to tear the concession stand down. It's cheaper than trying to bring it up to ADA standards. It is cheaper to tear it down and start over. And we're dealing with basically the same scenario here on this stadium.
Okay.
The city can spend $7.5 million and bring it up to the minimum standards of ADA.
Mm-hmm.
That does not have anything to do with regular maintenance. Or they can take that same amount of money and apply it towards a new stadium. The USA has already committed to $2.5 million to come mm-hmm. back to the Ladd Stadium, which will be basically torn down and rebuilt around where it will accommodate 5,000 to 6,000.
Which is what we would expect for high school games.
Set, yeah. You got plenty of parking and you already have an established field.
Right. And then, because you wouldn't have to, I think about facilities like what McGill Toolin did mm-hmm. with the LIP, but they had to acquire property, they had to do parking, they had to do field. Those things would be out of the mix. You'd just be basically building where people sit.
I've met with the mayor several times on this. The mayor keeps pointing out the most expensive part of building the stadium is the field itself, because you've got a turf mm-hmm. field there, and the parking lot. Now, the stadium, it can cost as much as you want it to cost, but when you start talking about a high school stadium much smaller, we're not talking about a huge concrete structure like...
And that's why you can do it. That's why that $2.5 million number is relevant, because people are trying to figure out, well, heck, repairs on this one are $7.5 million, and you're going to build a new one for $2.5 million. How the heck are you going
to
do that?
Well, it's just like rebuilding an old car. It's cheaper to go buy a new car a lot of times than rebuilding the old car.
Right.
And once you remove one nut, you got two more behind it that are broken, rusted together. So it starts a domino of what do you fix next? What do you fix next? But, you know, it for me, from a business standpoint, it makes sense. The county's involvement, we get involved in a lot of projects, not necessarily just like this one. I've probably gotten, I'm going to guess, 300 emails on this, and I've answered every one of them to my knowledge. And I promise you, 298 of them have been positive, and there's been two or three that have been negative.
Right.
And the negative of every
one
of them says,
ratio.
Why in the world do you want to spend taxpayers' money on that stadium?
Yeah, people have said the similar things here to me.
How many buildings do you think are on South Alabama campus?
I'm going to miss this one.
Well, just pick a number.
There are, including dorms.
Yeah.
Okay. There are 41.
Okay. Out of 41, there's only three that have been built with private money. Three that have been built by South Alabama. Every other building on that property has been built with taxpayers' money. So for us to put money into the stadium is no different than helping build a new classroom, or
right.
You know, so it. I don't understand the urgency and everyone getting so excited about it. It's a huge marketing tool for Mobile, and that's what we do every day. We try to sell Mobile.
All right, we come back from the break. Y'all's chances to ask those specific questions to Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl about this, and I will suggest an idea here. If we're looking, speaking of things getting built and getting built with taxpayer money, why not name it Shelby Stadium? I mean, he didn't say that was me. It was me. He didn't say. Coming right back. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106. Just think. USA Jaguars playing at Shelby, Richard Shelby Stadium.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1223, FM Talk 106.5. Well, your guess was 30 what? You thought I was how old?
38.
It's moving on up. Still not there. I'm closer to, well, I won't give any more clues here. It's the voice of Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl in studio talking about the county's perspective here and your perspective on the USA Stadium project and funding therein. You pointed out as we went to the break that out of the, whatever the number of buildings that are on the USA campus, that how many have been built?
Three.
Now, do we know what is standard when it comes to, or is there a standard when it comes to stadiums? I mean, whether it be a Jordan Hare, Bryant Denny, you know, Legion Field. I mean,
I know there is a study. I can't answer that. I'm sure there's somebody that can give that to you. I mean, when you look at Alabama or Auburn football program, you're looking at a lot of private donors. And I truly believe I've been working with South Alabama folks since March on this. And I keep getting the feeling, and this is just Jerry's gut feeling, that they've got some big donors that are going to step up once they see the local government buying into it. Once they see the local government investing into it, I feel like they've got some serious donors that are going to step up.
And that's interesting. So there's a little bit of a face-off just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
And it's just like with the county and the city. If the city was to prove it today, you'd probably see the county move faster. But we, the county, are watching the city and what the city does and how they do it.
All right. Travis, coming right to the phone, Joe, hold on. Travis says, why not just tear down Ladd and put the money into Hank Aaron Stadium? You kill two birds with one stone. There have been several baseball-football combo stadiums ADA compliant already.
Okay, I think when you look at that particular, talking about the Hank Aaron Stadium, you're talking about seating on two sides, not opposite sides. I think that would be a problem in layout. I had that same concept, that same idea with soccer, the possibility of turning it into a soccer complex. I don't think that would work either.
Let's get started on okay. Soccer.
No soccer today.
Let's go to the phones. And Al is in Mobile. You're on with Commissioner Carl.
Hey, Al.
Hey, now, this is my solution.
Yes, sir.
Instead of taking money from the city and the county, out of the city and the county, that's going to probably affect a lot of low-income people on fixed income, instead of putting money to the district or the county, this is how you could get a stadium bill.
All right.
South Alabama has about 16,000 enrolled. You charge each one $30 once a year. That's $480,000 right there.
Yes, sir.
You get about 5,000 at alumni, charge them $20 a year. That's $100,000. Now you got $580,000 to build your own stadium instead of building out the back of some low-income people on fixed incomes, and put that money into their community and fix it. And I'll say one more thing. The survey that the mayor got, I don't know if it's exaggerated or he may not be telling the whole truth. So don't make no decision until maybe the city or the county do their own survey instead of tearing that thing down just because one person say his survey says this.
So I'm going to say,
what you think about that?
Okay, yeah, and I'm going to guess, I'm going to write Al down as a no on this. Commissioner Carl?
Well, Al, I like your idea. I think a lot of the students, it would. I don't understand the concept that this is being passed on to the lower income people. Now, I know it affects all of us in some way, but I don't think it gets shift all the way down the chain to the lower income people, because a lot of the monies that we're talking about possibly using come from what we call heads in beds, taxes that are coming in from people that come and want to stay here. If we lose a bowl game, we're going to lose a lot of tax revenue from heads in beds, hotel tax. And that's a lot of the money that we can move around and use for projects like this. I'm not saying that's where the funding's coming from, but it certainly will be an avenue that we can look at and look at easily.
Well, when you tear down last stadium, you're going to lose the Gulf Coast Classic, because two historical black colleges are not going to come play on South Campus. I don't care if they rent free or not. And about 90%...
Why is that? Hold on.
90% of the alumni here, excuse me for one second, about 90% of the African-American alumni here, then either graduated from Alabama A&M, Tuskegee, or Alabama State, or Miles, and they would like to see them come down once a year.
Yeah, but Al, let me ask... Al, I'm asking a question here. Al, I want to ask a question. I want to answer. Why wouldn't the Gulf Coast Classic be played? What's wrong with, if there was a brand new facility at South, why wouldn't they play the game there?
Because the alumni and the students and everybody wouldn't like another university to benefit off them. Because if that's the case, they would play at their own stadium. They come down here simply because of the alumni.
Okay, because it's not a neutral. Because it's not a neutral stadium. Because it's a school stadium. Okay, all right. I'm just trying to understand.
The sports authority here in town puts up a lot of money for them to bring that classic here, and we enjoy that classic being here, and we want to keep it here, and we have agreed. And South Alabama has agreed to for that to be one of the games played there. So we're trying to take care of that, and I want to be real cautious. I don't want to make this a racial issue. I mean, it's a football stadium, and good Lord, here in the South, we're all breathe football. So, it's it's a business standpoint. As far as I'm concerned, I don't see the pushback that you're talking about. I apologize.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm being honest with you, Mr. Carl. Yes.
I know a guy that's on a fixed income around lead, makes about $1,000 a year in parking, and he sells sandwiches. That pays his light bill for the whole year.
Right.
What you think going to happen out there in District 2 when they tear lead down and put a little 5,000-seat field out? What you think going to happen to that area? You think it's going to prosper?
And I want to do this, and we're up against the we're going to try to answer this. We're up against the break here,
okay,
but Al, I want to tell. That's fine. I appreciate the question because I talked about it this morning. I'm just going to throw my two cents in, then let the commissioner. My two cents is when we make decisions, and once again, this is neither yay or nay about the stadium, but when we make decisions as a county or a city to fund things because of what people make from parking people in their front yard, Commissioner Carl, I think that's a bad way to run government.
If we use that test on everything we do, we'll never get anything done. And yes, I understand the man making the $1,000. I understand that $1,000 is very important.
Times
to him,
change,
but well, it may be changed to us, but it's a lot of money to him. I understand. We can't make the decision which way to move based on that $1,000.
That's what I'm saying.
That's very unfair to the rest of the taxpayers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Times change. There's been, there used to be a certain corners in the city that were more profitable to have your fruit stand on. Something moves, and then you can't go, you can't have that new road because then people won't drive by my fruit stand. I mean, that's
right.
All right. Coming right back. Y'all hold on. Come to the phones next at 343-0106. Y'all hop on now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Al, I'm going to roll something out here, and I don't need to put you back on the air, but if I'm wrong on any of these points, not the opinion part, but factually, if I'm wrong, call in. Dalton will take your call, and you can correct me. But the way I understand this, if the issue is that the people around Ladd Stadium, that have homes around Ladd Stadium, that park cars in the yard, if they're going to lose money for those two games or three games a year when there's the overflow parking situation, because high school parking does not park people in yards. There's plenty of parking for the high school games. But if you're talking about those three bowl games, then your issue is specifically not with anybody in government. If I understand this, your issue would be with the University of South Alabama daring to propose building a stadium on their campus to give their students a better experience, with recruit more football players, all those things that go with having a campus on stadium. So your issue is you're telling the University of South Alabama, because the way I see this, you're telling the University of South Alabama, you can't build this stadium for the students at South and the fans of South and the alumni and all that, because it's going to take away people's ability to charge $10 for parking in the front yard. If I'm missing something out, please call Dalton, drop me a note. But that's the way I hear it. And so, I mean, that's not an issue about government. I mean, South may build the stadium whether, y'all showed up with the checkbook or not, Commissioner.
I hope so. They keep telling us that they need commitments from us to go back and work with some other funding.
Okay.
And that may be bonding issues. You can read as much as you want to into that, because I don't know any more than that. But I just got a funny feeling that there's, they're going to come up with some more funding.
This is this text here from Charles says, ask Commissioner why we don't sell the Maritime Museum for $40 million, take the loss, and build a new stadium, considering Maritime Museum is down there rusting away at $75 million taxpayer money. So
you got somebody who wants to buy it?
Yeah, I was wondering if he knows if there's
And there's also some federal money, obviously, that went into that program, and there's some loopholes that the mayor and the city has to deal with. It's not as easy as selling a building.
Right. I mean, this is like we've talked about.
It's got to be a portion of it. It's got to be a permanent museum. So
I'm actually at the point.
And then you've got parking issues there.
Oh, yes. And, I mean, you have to have somebody. People say, just sell such a the market for like a 2,200 square foot home. Lots of people can buy 22 that are in the market for a 2,200 square foot home. The number of people that are looking for a ship-shaped building on the Mobile River with not a lot of parking, it's a smaller number. If you go to Zillow.com right now or your local realtors, and look, it's probably a smaller number of buyers.
I think from a business standpoint, if you did try to market some shipping companies or some, right, some right. maritime-based, you could get some buyers or some renters.
But yes, you have the federal.
But again, there's some federal loopholes there that they're having to work around.
I've told folks through this whole process.
And look how much money we've put into that. The county itself, I don't know exactly how much, but I'm going to guess it's probably somewhere around 8 to 10 million.
Okay, but you do, and I know you understand this because how fiscally conservative you are, and you and I talk about this a bunch. You do know the reaction of people when they sit out here and go, "This is just another fill in the blank. It can be the string of pearls. What? It could be golf. It could be. I mean, people get this idea that, oh gosh, here we go again.
Yeah, but we meaning Alabamians, we are football. I mean, we live and breathe football. Whether right. you're in Auburn, Alabama, Alabama A&M, Tuskegee.
Right.
I mean, it goes on and on. We live for football.
Right.
The off season is the most depressing time of the year, right. other than where our snapper season, which That's got right. improved, so we can yes. get happy about that. So football is an investment for a community, and we've got to have a facility. South Alabama's program obviously has grown very rapidly, right. so we've got to have a facility. Somebody's got to have a new facility here because LAD is just not working. It's old. It's 70 years old, folks.
There you go. Let's go to Tim in Mobile. You're on with Commissioner Carl.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, both of you guys. Good day to you. First of all, the misnomer of a maritime museum has bothered me ever since they opened the front door. It never was designed, apparently, to be a museum. That being said, let's get on to the stadium.
Okay.
I think it's a win-win situation for the city and county of Mobile and the people of Mobile, plus any of the colleges that come down to play games here, and, of course, the Super Bowl. We'll Senior have new video facilities, new camera spots, just a brand new stadium.
Yeah, of course.
Just make it a huge plus for the city of Mobile.
You know, when you look at the plans of this new facility, they've got areas that you can actually stand and eat, drink areas, private suites, suites that are rentable. I mean, it's a brand new concept of how football, instead of just sitting in a stadium, they're pushing people towards concession stands and drinks. And it's a much friendlier atmosphere than what we're dealing with now.
I appreciate the call, Tim. We'll head over to 343-0106. That's the number, 343-0106. And the tax man, downtown Fly Creek, chiming in. Hey, tax man.
Uh-oh. I think I got good news.
Okay.
I grew up with a grocery store every quarter, Bob and Pop, okay?
Right.
They're all gone. And the little drive-in puppy gas, both of those are gone.
They shouldn't do that. They shouldn't. They should not have ever made a decision because people lost money there, tax man.
Oh, yeah. And parking in your front yard at Lance Stadium, that's gone, too.
Yep.
South Alabama, that's big, big business. We're proud of that university.
Thank
we
got
to make a first class, and everybody can play football games down there, and everybody is happy.
There we go.
Thank you, Tax man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
well
that. Let's go next to David in Mobile, who, by the way, I was looking at the text line. David is closest. You're still not correct, but is closest to my age. And you guessed what?
45. Did I overshoot the runway?
I was 45 yesterday.
Oh, 46.
46. So I am close. Yeah, as I explained to my dear mother, I said, now your baby son is closer to 50 than he is 40. So I just.
Well, I just turned 60. So,
we're young looking guys.
We're good looking, aren't we?
That's right. That's right. That's why they keep me in the radio ranks. All right, David, what's your take on this?
I got a couple of questions regarding the rent for the Senior Bowl and the other bowl games, and then I got another suggestion for the commissioner. The question for the rent is, are the rents for the Senior Bowl, the Dollar General Bowl, and the Gulf Coast Challenge in perpetuity, which means forever, or is there a time limit on that rent, and does that rent also include rent for the practice facilities for the week and the Mitchell Center for the fan experience for the Senior Bowl?
I cannot answer all those questions. I know it is use of the field is in perpetuity. That I know for a fact.
For the game, yeah.
For the game itself. But I can't answer the other questions. I truly do not know. I would think the school would keep the concessions themselves. You just don't want people come in and take that over. I wouldn't think so. I mean, they've got to find some way of paying their costs there.
And then the suggestion I have for the commissioner is, why doesn't the city and the county make their donations dependent upon the USA Foundation doing like a 10 or 20% match? So that way the fundraising foundation for the university has skin in the game.
Okay, but this was pointed out earlier that, Commissioner Carl, you said it's earmarked.
No, they say it's earmarked. So
okay, maybe it was this morning. Somebody talked about it was earmarked.
And I have fought with that and fought with that and fought with that. There's so much money in that foundation, but I'm told the foundation, the way it is structured, it cannot be used for sporting events, is what I'm told.
All right. There you go, David. Appreciate it. So this comes down to not $10 million for the county. You said more like
it's going to be closer to five if I get my way, which okay. I normally don't. So.
Right. Well, you had two other commissioners to work with. If the county does $5 million, obviously there's a goodwill part of this in PR, but there's also, like you said, heads in beds. I mean, there is some. I'm sure you can have somebody run the projected numbers. How long, having a new facility there takes to get the county back that much in revenue.
Yeah, but you look at South Alabama football. How many out of town alumni? I doubt there's very few that have come historically to the games.
Right.
And maybe not because of Ladd, just because of it's not on campus. It doesn't have that experience. If it is on campus, how many of those out of town alumni will come?
Right, and they get to build that.
Then it becomes
right?
a tax base that they're bringing in between the drinks and the food and the gas and the hotels, and it starts that tax domino effect that we love because mm-hmm. we're not taxing
right.
the voters.
We're getting people from out of town to come pay the freight.
That's what it's about.
Right, but I don't think I see kind of like most things. I'm in the middle. See the gray. Those who say, you're going to build this facility out there, and the next thing you're going to know, it's going to be like Tuscaloosa on game day or Auburn on game day. I don't think that happens overnight, but it starts a process of building something.
Yeah, and the stadium itself is being built where it can be expanded, and they're deliberately building it at 25,000. They want a full stadium mm-hmm. every time it opens up. They want that. They want that picture on CNN. They want that mm-hmm. picture on ESPN. They want that picture of a full stadium.
Right. So
right now with Ladd, you got a handful of people on both sides. It does not look good.
Well, and on the flip side, too, for putting the high school games in there, you don't have to have...
You don't need all of that.
You don't need that much space. Right. And that's going to be one of the issues that with a smaller area to keep up long term, when we're at this point 20 years from now, let's say the city does this and puts a new facility there, the smaller state, when we do have maintenance to do on the new facility in decades, be less maintenance.
Much, much cheaper. Much cheaper.
More efficient property. All right, can you hang out for a second?
Sure.
All right. We'll run the news break, come right back, grab your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, I don't want to send people running, especially when I have the commissioner from the south end of Mobile County in here, but new tropical depression forms in the central Atlantic. They said it could be named Tropical Depression Beryl. Not like a whiskey barrel, but B-E-R-Y, like Cheryl, but with a B. We'll talk more about that when we get back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:50, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good to have Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl in the studio. Abby says, how about tearing Ladd down and building the new police headquarters on that spot? And now, if we could do it and also have a facility that could hold high school sporting events, right?
our focus, we can't lose focus on the kids that are in high school. I mean, we have to take care of those. I think it's three high schools that actually use that stadium. So, we have got some responsibilities here. We've got to do something to put them back in a playing position.
I'm looking at this text, and this is what I was trying to bring forward earlier, and hopefully giving voice to people that have called me over the decade here. This texter says, the city and county have had so many bad investments. I'll edit here. Heck, I'm gun shy on giving them any more money. I mean, that is any Maritime Museum, Bay Bears Convention Center, Cruise Terminal, which is actually now,
City.
Right.
All those are cities, right. Although the county did chip in a little bit.
So, I mean, like I said this earlier, this is the tough thing going forward, is that I understand the positive business aspect, I understand this. I also, in one part of my mind, remember all these things in the past. But you made a point.
But you've got a very conservative administration now. Yes. When's the last time you've seen a building built by the
right?
I'll give Mayor Stimson credit. When's the last time you've seen him build anything?
Right.
He's too busy trying to pay off what we have.
Right, and that's one of the things, too, the untold story for a lot of people is a lot of City of Mobile revenue goes to debt service.
Oh, my gosh.
On things that
are drainage issues that we have in the city. I mean, it's going to take a lot of money and a lot of time, a lot of patience.
All right, go to the phones here. And Lynn in Mobile, first up. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, Lynn.
Good morning. Hi, how are you two?
Good.
Good.
I have a question. I grew up in a sporting community, a football community, and our team had wins and losses. This is a young team of only 9 years. Most major colleges played in football stadiums for years before they got new stadiums. And when they did, it was from a major donor who they named the stadium after. I heard your comment about Shelby, but...
I did not say that.
That was not Commissioner Carl. That's all on me. Yeah,
the person who donated the money for the majority of the building of the stadium got it named, just like the NFL names their stadiums today for, you know, corporate sponsorships. My challenge with Mobile is we're spending lots of money, both county and city, and it doesn't seem like both groups are talking to each other. There's still some, not everybody's on the same page, but the team is only 9 years old. And for them to put demands that we need it in 18 months is a little scary when it takes some major universities 3 to 5 years to build the money, not just to build it, but for maintenance and operation after it's built through their foundations. More importantly, if this team doesn't continue to win, attendance will go down. We'll have another college stadium that students will not go to a football game. And I think that for them to demand, and that's what I feel like as a citizen, that they're demanding, we've got to have it. We've got to have it in 18 months. And that doesn't even seem logical.
All right. And let me, because I don't want to run out of time here, Lynn. I want to let Commissioner Carl respond to that.
Well, I don't feel like South Alabama's demanding. I think they've set a time frame that they would like to work within. And dealing with politicians and elected officials, you have to give them a time frame. If you don't, they will drag it out forever for political reasons. I'll just be straight up with you. Instead of just saying yes or no, thumbs up, thumbs down, they'll drag it out and they'll study it to death and probably come up with the same conclusion. But I don't think, being fair to South Alabama, I don't think they've set a deadline and pushed us towards it. I think they've set that deadline for everyone concerned dealing with it, including themselves. Football programs do go up and down. There's very few programs like Alabama that stayed on top for so long. I get that. I understand that. I think a stadium of 25,000, I think, is a very conservative number. I think they did that for that very reason. They'll always have 6,000 to 7,000 students that will want to attend it, just from a game day standpoint. That'll leave a lot of seats that we can sell, you know, obviously locally. I can't find anything negative in it. Now, I don't know of any schools, and I know, again, someone did this study about stadiums that were built in some of the schools here recently, the amounts, the cost, who paid for them. I guess I need to find out who's got that particular study.
All right, Lynn. I appreciate the call because I may run out of time here. I want to, I have no answer to this question, but it's kind of tough. Anybody that is new in football programs, you know, trying to catch up with people that have been doing it as long as some of these old schools. Yeah, sure. I mean, they used to play, you know, on the quad probably at the University of Alabama, but they've had all these decades to be where they are. Should that same time frame exist with schools that are getting in more recently to football, or is there, in today's world, do you have to be up and at this level to be on TV and all this stuff now because it's 2018? You know, that's the...
Yeah, my wife and I just came back from the Holy Lands. We were in Jerusalem.
I saw those pictures.
In downtown Jerusalem, there's an Alabama football store.
No, there is not.
Yes, there is. In the old city,
you can't tell stories
Alabama
about the Holy
football
Land.
Store.
There's a Crimson Tide.
I'm honestly telling you the truth. people are standing in line to buy an Alabama T-shirt or hat. Now, University of Alabama makes a percentage off of that. We at South don't have it there yet, but maybe we will.
Really?
I'm serious. The guy
in Jerusalem.
The guy's from Jerusalem. He graduated from Alabama. He went back. He started carrying a few items in his store. He couldn't keep them on the shelf, so he converted the whole store to an Alabama football store. It opened up at 9 o'clock. At 8:30, there was a line all the way down the little entrance there. And at 10 o'clock, they were still lined up, and I didn't even go in there. I can't imagine anything they have that I can't get here.
Yep. If I'm working for any kind of ESPN, SEC network, local TV stations, I am bugging my news director like crazy to get me a plane ticket. Number one, so I can see the Holy Land while I'm there. But number two, can you imagine that story running at the beginning of football season about the, I'm putting together the package in my head of what the interviews and the, you know, and here it is, the game day experience. And where are we today? We're in Jerusalem. Let's go into the store and buy some gear.
That is the darndest thing. These are the roads that Jesus walked.
There's an
Alabama football store there.
As a big fan and a proud alum, you got to be kidding me. Wow. Wow, wow. Hey, I appreciate it as always when you stop by. Thank you. All right, we'll come right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. And we'll talk to Brendan Kirby. Also talk to you next hour at 343-0106.